The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
You know, sometimes when I talk about loving kindness practice, or even when I think about it, part of it is to help us not like close down the heart, the shut down and collapse. Maybe all of us know somebody who has a lot of bitterness in their life, or maybe they're like really cynical, or they have this. You have this sense that perhaps they were harmed or injured or something happened earlier that caused them to kind of like close down their hearts in some kind of way. And of course, right, it makes perfect sense when we have incredible pain to want to not do it again. And maybe a time in our life when it makes perfect sense in order to not have that kind of pain again, we're going to close down some way or just hide behind this wall or erect a wall or something like this. And so loving kindness practice is a way in which to kind of help us notice any of these walls or these compartments or other ways that we've separated ourselves from other people or from life, because all of us have this experience. If you try to not feel something uncomfortable, it turns out that you can't just not feel that uncomfortable thing. You just kind of stop feeling. And maybe there's a time when that's helpful. We feel overwhelmed and we're not functioning well or something like this. But there also becomes a time when that just isn't helpful. That's a life that's not fully lived. And we don't want to do that. So this idea of loving kindness practice as being able to keep our hearts open or head that direction with our hearts more open. To even maybe even have the consideration that, okay, maybe I can, not that we have to have love for everybody. It's more what I'm talking about, what I'm pointing to right now is the having the openness, being open to the possibility that there could be something different than kind of when we close that down, there's often like a freezing or a stopping. There's like no movement, no growth happening. So here is a short poem by Rosemary Traumer. I just happened to be looking at Neil, and as soon as I said that name, he went to the keyboard. So Rosemary Traumer. So I'm not going to say the title of this poem yet. I'd like to read it first because I think I would give it a different title. So here's this poem by Rosemary Traumer, this wonderful, amazing poet. Nudged by hope, the heart rises from exhaustion. It's like the great blue heron I saw this morning, flying up from a wasteland on broad gray wings with strong, slow beats, for a moment charged with grace before, did you see this heart? It chose to land again, bringing all its beauty to the desolate place. For a moment charged with grace, before, did you see this heart? It chose to land again, bringing all its beauty to the desolate place. Recognizing this heart has beauty, and choosing to land again, even after flying up from a wasteland. I'll say for me personally, this poem is really meaningful because I often go for a walk at a place where there's herons, these blue herons. And they're often just sitting or standing, I guess, standing near the water. But to see them fly, it's like majestic. These birds probably stand, I don't know, maybe 2.5, 3 feet tall, maybe even bigger. I don't know. And their wingspans are just giant. And so when they take flight, it's amazing. It's a beautiful thing. Nudged by hope, the heart rises from exhaustion. It's like the great blue heron I saw this morning flying up from a wasteland on broad gray wings with strong, slow beats. For a moment, charged with grace, before, did you see this heart? It chose to land again, bringing all its beauty to the desolate place. All of us have seen this. All of us have seen beautiful birds landing, butterflies landing. What would it be like if our hearts were like these great blue herons? They have a certain majesty about them. They have some beauty. They have some grace. To fly and to land. So maybe with that as an introduction, let's do some meditation. So taking a meditation posture. Whichever posture feels supportive for you right now. But bringing some intentionality to it. Bringing some purpose, like we're sitting for a purpose. I'm adjusting myself, my sitting posture here a little bit. Then maybe connect with what we're sitting on, the chair, the cushion, the couch, whatever it might be, the chair. It might be that before you came to sit, there was a lot of doing, a lot of rushing, or maybe just some activity and that momentum is still with you. It's okay. We don't have to shove it away. We don't have to make anything be different. Can we just welcome it? Come on in. You're welcome to this momentum, this go. Energy, some restlessness perhaps. Maybe it's the opposite, it's the end of the day and feeling tired and not so sure that you have the energy or want to have the energy. Can you invite that in? Also, we get to be who we are. We don't have to be different. For this first part of practice, we're just noticing how it is that we are right now. maybe if it's helpful to support settling down, a little bit longer exhales, or pay attention to the exhales. If you feel like you could use a little bit of energy, it's the end of the day, you need some more alertness, you can bring some attention to the inhales. Allowing yourself to be filled up, so to speak, with energy, more brightness. Without making it uncomfortable or breathing in a way that feels unnatural. Just resting the attention on the sensations of breathing. If we find ourselves lost in thought, just very gently, simply begin again. Feeling the sensations of breathing. Nothing in particular needs to be happening. I'm just noticing how it feels to breathe. You might notice it in the chest, in the abdomen, maybe with the air going in and out of the nose. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, I always like to start where it's easiest. Prime the pump, so to speak. So bringing to mind a lovable being. Someone or real or imaginary, furry or human. Maybe if you're a furry human. But it's easy to feel love and care. It's easy to feel kindness, warmth, respect. Bringing this being to mind and connecting with them. You might connect by visualizing them. And maybe it's easy, it's natural to radiate some warmth care, kindness, love. If so, just recognize that experience of radiating the warmth, goodwill, maybe it isn't straightforward, or maybe it's not clear. That's perfectly fine. And then, to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, support our intention of not letting our heart stay behind a wall or cloistered in some partitioned place. Again, say these phrases while we have in mind the lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Allowing ourselves to feel the warm-heartedness we have for this lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to extend our loving kindness for a good friend. Maybe it's a family member. Bringing them to mind. may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Connecting with, touching into the care that we have for this good friend. Allowing ourselves to feel supported. Allowing ourselves to feel touched by this good feeling. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Nudged by hope, the heart rises from exhaustion. It's like the great blue heron I saw this morning, flying up from a wasteland on broad gray wings, with strong, slow beats. For a moment, charged with grace before. Could you see this heart? It chose to land again, bringing all its beauty to the desolate place. And then to do loving kindness practice for ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. If it would be supportive, you're welcome to use different words than what I'm offering here. Words that are easier to relate to, that resonate more. Maybe in a different language. Maybe you have another language that's closer to your heart. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. For a moment, charged with grace, before it chose to land again, bringing all its beauty to the desolate place. Maybe we have some corners of our hearts that feel desolate. Maybe not. Maybe loving kindness is a type of grace. And then to extend our loving kindness to somebody that we don't know. Somebody that we don't have feelings towards. Somebody that we might be on this Zoom call. Maybe somebody you see occasionally in the neighborhood. Can we extend our loving kindness to those we don't know? We don't have an emotional charge with them, either for them or against them. Bringing this person to mind. May you be saved. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground, the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea of the heart maybe being like a great blue heron who sometimes takes wing. I think that's the expression. And it can land in all these different places maybe that we thought that it couldn't. And the first line of this poem is nudged by hope. I don't know exactly what hope is. Maybe it's the idea of a different possibility. It's the belief that something different can arise. So it can be helpful to talk about some of these ideas. This idea of maybe that the heart sometimes gets crusty, and that in fact that we can get it a little bit less crusty, and that loving kindness practice really can help, can make a difference in our lives in so many different ways, and this is just one way. So in the group, you can talk about this poem, about the heart being like a heron, great blue heron, these beautiful, magnificent birds that chooses to land again, bringing all its beauty to the desolate place. Or you could talk about how that meditation was for you. Maybe it was, you fell asleep during the whole time. Or maybe you weren't sure that you were planning, doing meal planning in your mind and making a grocery list and doing everything except meditating. So it's perfectly fine, whatever you're doing. We don't all have to, you know, have the same experience, and we don't all have to be right here all the time. As I said, we get to bring all of ourselves and we get to be whomever we are. So I ended the meditation a few minutes earlier. So how about if you're in the groups for about 14 minutes? And it can be helpful if only one person speaks. I'm sorry. Of course, one person speaks at a time. That's much more helpful. You don't need me to tell you that. But if it's if the first person just says one thing, and then it goes to the second person and they just say one thing, then it goes to the third person, they just say one thing, and then it comes back around, then you have a chance to say something different that you hadn't heard before. I'm sorry, I'm now rearranging the rooms a little bit. So, right, I'm supposed to be a meditation teacher, so I'm supposed to be not multitasking. So I've been training my brain to not multitask, and then when I'm trying to set up the rooms and talk at the same time, it really shows that I'm not so great at this. So just saying one thing at a time, and sometimes I like this analogy of as if everybody has an ingredient that they're putting into the soup. So that just something that we to share, as opposed to one person doing a really long monologue to telling a long complicated story or something like that, but instead to create something together. And if it's helpful, you can go in alphabetical order. And here we go. Welcome back. Here we go. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. So if anybody have a question, a comment, something they'd like to share? Some of you are smiling. Okay, so this is a good sign. I'm guessing if it was an awful experience, you could have just hit the eject button, right? So. That was nice, Michael. We heard you laughing. Otherwise, you know, like I don't hear anything. You guys at least hear me, but I don't hear anything. That's okay. We don't have to speak or do anything.
our small group ended with a reflection of how wonderful it is to be here with the Sangha in these grave times when there is so much sadness going on in the world, but to come here where there is joy and love and a room full of people who are caring is very satisfying.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, right? We're not denying that all that other stuff is happening, but this is happening too. There's people with beautiful hearts coming together. It's quite something. Yeah, what's amazing, right, that we can do this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it's the top of the hour. Maybe we'll call it a session. So thank you all. Thank you all. We can unmute and say goodbye. So
thanks.
Bye.
And thank you, Diana. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Diana.
Wonderful.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, Barbara.
Yeah. Bye.
See you later.
Bye. Bye.
Some other faces.